There is something very, very powerful about light. A flame shining in the darkness. And I don't just say this because as a Montanan, I'm a certifiable pyromaniac who likes to light things up. I'm very happy that my boys have the same DNA. They have enjoyed very much pulling stuff out of the fire that we light outside, lighting a piece of paper, a piece of wood, throwing it on the ground and telling me, "Dad, look, I made fire." Son, one day you learn it's a little bit harder than that, but it grips them too. The light is powerful, penetrates the darkness, and it's so warm to be around, so warm to enjoy it. In 2001, I visited a church in Leipzig, Germany, called the St. Nikolai Kirche, St. Nicholas's Church. And it was a church that during the 1980s had a group of people gathering every Monday night for a prayer and candle vigil during this brutal reign of communism that many of you know of in the East German Bloc. And I listened to a young man at the church describe through various translations how these prayer vigils began. They started with 12 people. They began to grow throughout the 80s until 1989, one Monday evening, it got to such an extent that there were 8,000 people gathered in this church for an hour-long prayer service with their candles, and it spontaneously erupted as they walked out into the streets and walked silently throughout the streets of Leipzig, in which, from the community, some 70 to 100,000 extra people joined them with their candles, marching straight towards communist tanks. And shortly thereafter, a month later, the Berlin Wall fell. And an East German officer was asked about the experience, and he said, "You know what? We were prepared for everything. We were armed for everything. What we weren't prepared for were candles and prayers." Beautiful thing. Shining the light in the darkness is a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing because its very essence means that it recognizes there is a darkness to be entered into and for a light to shine there. And we know this very well. We know we live in a world of pain and heartache and sin and people who have lost their way. And in order for light to shine, someone must enter into the place of darkness. And this is the Christmas story. It's a story whose narrative includes the events that we call Christmas, where God became flesh and dwelt among us. Christmas is a time foretold by the prophets where in the land of great darkness now light has shone. And more importantly, it says that this is a light that can never be put out. It's a light that will never grow dim. It's a light that will shine in every place of the darkness. It's almost like a reverse PG&E bill. You know, if you have a PG&E bill and the warning is if you don't pay it, the lights are going to go out. Well, something has been paid already with Jesus Christ coming, and he promises to keep the lights on completely one day in which all darkness will be dispelled. There will be nothing left in the midst of a dark world. It will all be living then by the light of the glory of God. And this is the good news, where the gospel message that we are given on this Christmas story is one that we're called to share in, to believe, to give our lives to. "Whoever follows me," Jesus says, "will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." About 450 years ago, a man named John Calvin was a pastor in Geneva. He's the person from whom we get our theological tradition. And he preached in an awful time. He preached in a time that was brutal, that was dark, it was immoral. And the average person's view of God was of a God who just liked to punish, a God of vengeance, a God who is to be feared, a God who certainly didn't love his people but had a certain degree of expectation for their lives. And John preached the gospel to these people in their own tongue, in their own language, from the Word of God. And his guiding motto as he proclaimed the message was this: "Post tenebris lux, after darkness, light." Isn't that a great motto? So wherever we find darkness, you know what? It will not have the last word. Wherever place we find ourselves in the midst of all the things that we deal with in this life, after the darkness, the gospel says there's going to be light. It will shine, it will be bright, and you know what? It dispels darkness, and it will dispel it once and for all. And what is this message? The message is this thing that the angels proclaimed that evening when the glory of God shone upon the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, one who would come to lay down his life for his people. Into the darkness the light of God shined, and here there was a Savior whose light would shine in all the things that he would say, a light that would shine in all the things that he did, a light that people thought was extinguished when he was put on a Roman cross, but they were wrong, because the light continued to shine brightly as the reality of an empty tomb became real to them. He lives. And in the darkness of his death, the light of resurrection shined. And this is what we say on Christmas, that the light of truth is now shining to dispel all falsehood. The light of hope is now shining to dispel all the darkness of despair. The light of grace now shines into a darkness of failure. We've all felt it. And the light of love, beyond all measure, is shining into the darkness of rejection. Can we be forgiven and free? And the glorious thing about this is that this light isn't something that just brings the ability to see. It thaws the heart. It's warming. The ancients said it was a gladdening light. You like that? That this Christmas is not just about believing in a truth, but it's a truth that actually thaws us out from the inside and brings joy to our hearts, because we know that something has been done for us that can never be taken from us, regardless of the darkness that tries to smother it. That's why we as Christians, for those of you inquiring about the Christian faith tonight, we are called to have no fear. Now, how does one have no fear? Simply because who Jesus is, who he said he was, who he promises to always be, is what we hold dear in our hearts, that he is the light of the world, and that when we follow him, darkness will never overcome us. We will walk by the light of his light our entire lives. And tonight, we too will be lighting our candles and with our prayers. We too will be walking out of this church, out of those front doors. It's a cold night, but a real world to shine the light of Christ. And you know what? It's not a delusion that we do this. It's not a warm, sentimental Christmas feeling that we're trying to rekindle. It is a protest declaration that after darkness, there's light. There's candle vigils going on throughout the world in the midst of awful experiences and tragedies, and we shine a light into that darkness because of what Christ has done for us. And the Bible says that for those who are in Christ, there is nothing that can separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that for those who are in Christ, there is nothing formed against us that will stand up against this light that we now have. Nothing. This is a confidence that the world cannot make sense of. It's a trust that defies explanation. But you know what? It's just the truth. And it's good news. It's gladdening news. Hail, gladdening light. Do you believe tonight that he is who he says he is? He is the light of the world. And that we're not to fear the darkness, but to enter into it with our candle of hope. That signifies the light that shines into every heart and wants every heart to know and to trust in who he is, what he did for them, and that he will always be there for them. Which is why tonight we do a very old candlelight vigil here. It's a ceremony that goes back to ancient Jerusalem, in which the early church would gather, and in a place that was thought to be the place where Jesus was raised from the dead, his tomb. And they always kept a candle there burning day in and day in and day out to signify that, you know what? No one's putting this light out. It's shining. And they would sing a hymn called Hail Gladdening Light as this light was brought into the darkness of their gatherings. They would do it at night. And then the light of Christ would shine in their midst. And for you tonight, just for a few moments, if you would with me, is it's going to be dark real soon in here. We've heard the word of the Lord. Question is, how do we respond? And I want you to watch and feel. Watch and feel the darkness. And then watch and feel a light coming into it, which signifies the light of Christ. And then watch and feel what happens when this light begins to spread. What does it mean? What truth are we signifying here today? And then after we have recited together this oldest of hymns that we have, Hail Gladdening Light, we'll start singing Silent Night, and we'll be dismissed by rows with candles burning into the courtyard to continue singing as we spill out into the world to shine His light. So here is the close of our service where we say very strongly that after darkness, because of Christ, there was light. Do you believe it? Amen. Amen.